Pick it up at the bottom of Chafeim Rebeis, the last line, the new Mishnah. So the Mishnah tells us that a Bechor should nuffle a boar. So on Yontif, a Bechor, a firstborn animal, Bizmanazeh, the halacha is, Rashi tells us the basic halachas that you need to know, that you look at two lines from the bottom. Rashi says, Bechor Bizmanazeh, Ein Ishchar El Mum, Bipnei Kachu Kachum Hu. So you can't shecht a Bechor Bizmanazeh unless it's a Bamum. If it's a Tam, you're not allowed to. The halacha is that a bechor who's born from the becomes kadosh once it becomes born. So let's say the bechor, it's a firstborn cow from a behemoth tahora. The halachas are behemoth tahora is any behemoth tahora is a bechor. A behemoth tamei only a chamor is a pet chamor. That's the only halacha that's a bechor for the behemoth tamei. But bechor tahora, a behemoth tahora rather, any kosher animal born is going to be a bechor. So the firstborn that is. So the halacha is, if you shecht it when it's a tam, when it's not a balmum, so it's a problem of shechting a kachim b'chutz, an anish karis. So you can't shecht it when it's a tam, even bizman hazah, even though there's no basin mikdash, but once it's a balmum to the b'chor, so you'll have to shecht it b'chutz, and the kohen gets to eat it. So what happens? The b'chor shenafel a boar, the Mishnah says. The b'chor falls into a pit, and you don't know the status of it. You don't know if it's a balmum or not a balmum. If it's a tam, well, you can't bring it up because there's no purpose on Yom Tif, because you can't shecht it. If it's a Baal Mum, so you'll have to bring it up and shecht it, but you don't know, it falls to the pit. So what's the halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yarad Mumcha V'yira, you get a Mumcha go down, an expert who knows all the Mumim, not Pashit. The Gemaras and Bechoras talk about very detailed, very technical Mishnahs and Gemaras exactly what is a Mum, what's not a Mum. So Mumcha goes down to the board to take a look at it. So he takes a look, and the Mishnah continues on the Chavav and Aleph now. Im Yesh Bo Mum Yalav Yishcho. If the Mumcha goes down in the board and he sees that there's a mum, so he's allowed to bring it up or have someone bring up the bechor to the top and shecht it and eat it. Since it's a mum, you could shecht it. Vimlav, if not, lo yishchol. The Gemara is going to, but imlav, let's say at this point, if he doesn't see a mum, he goes down and it's a tam, it's completely unblemished, so you have to leave it down there below and you can't shecht it on Yantif. And then comes along Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon argues and says, Omer kol she'ein mumar nikar mi bod yom ein zem mina mucham. If you didn't recognize there's a mum before Yontif, so then you cannot shecht on Yontif, even though it might have been a mum there. If you didn't recognize it before Yontif, then it's going to be a problem of shechting on Yontif, and ein zem mina mucham, that's not considered prepared, because remember, the whole idea of muksa and muchan is about having das. So even though maybe the animal had a bamum, I just didn't know about it, so it was maximi daito. I had no idea it was there. It's considered muksa, regardless of whether there's actually a baal mum or not. That's according to Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara explains now, what is that exactly is machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon? Again, Rabbi Huda says you could have the mumcha go down and check out the mum. And if there's a mum, you could check it. If not, you can't. Rabbi Shimon says you can't go down and check at all. If you knew before Yontif, so you could check. If you didn't know before Yontif, no one could go down and check on Yontif itself. So why not? So Gemara explains as follows, B'mai kamifigi. What is machlokas between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon? He name a biroin mumum kamifigi. If you're going to say they're arguing about whether or not you're allowed to look at a mum on Yontif or not look at a mum on Yontif, the Rabbi Huda savar roin mumum biyontif. Rabbi Huda holds you can look at a mum on Yontif, and Rabbi Shimon savar ein roin mumum biyontif. Rabbi Shimon permits you to look at them. If that's the machlokas, whether you could take a look at a mum or not, so the Gemara says there's a much easier, simpler case the Mishnah could have explained, namely, v'liflagu b'roen mumim b'dalmo. It could have just simply had a case, forget a boar, b'chor falling to a boar, just say, are you allowed to look at mumim ayantif? Why is there a case, the Gemara says, b'chor shenafel a boar, that's the question. So why again are we saying a case of specifically the b'chor falling into the boar? Just say, can you look at a mum, roen mum b'yantif or not roen? The fact that it has a case of a dafka b'chor falling into a boar sounds like there's a different type of machlokas. So that can't be where they're arguing about looking at it or not. So what exactly is the problem of looking at a mum on Yontif? What's the havmiyah to think that one cannot look at a mum on Yontif? So there's a few different opinions here what the problem is of looking in. So Rashi says, I think there are two different Rashis here. Where did Rashi go? Ah, so you see Rashi, the first Rashi on the Gemara. E name a biroin. The havadai mishim muksa lo havim tamayo. It's not because of muksa. Fine, we'll get to that in a second. Ela mishum rias mum. The problem is looking at a mum on yantif. Who care? Why would there be a problem looking at a mum on yantif? The Rabbi Shimon Savar ein roin came into Havilei ki yoshiv vidun din. The loch is, it sounds seems like you're being giving a psak din on yantif. And the Gemara tell us that Rashi quotes early in the Mishnah, based on the Gemara's later on in Beitza, that you cannot do a din Torah on yantif. It can't be goers of things. And the reason being, it's a din derban, it's a shvus, lest you come to write down the psak din in the various opinions. You can't write down. So really, mikra din, you can sit down and have a court case on yantif, but there's a concern you might write down the psak and the other details, so therefore there's a shvus not to. So they think that looking at a mum might be the same case. Why would looking at a mum be the same thing as sitting down in a court? So it might be, sort of this now maybe, that the Gemara's in Sanhedrin talk about getting smicha. Real halacha of smicha. It used to be Moshe Rabbeinu gave you a Yeshua smicha and Yeshua passed it on, and we lost smicha. But there's a certain amount of smicha you need. Or a person can't just go ahead and just pass kinshas. He needs smicha, he needs permission. It's not really called smicha in the Torah sense, it's called reshus. I need reshus to paskin. You need reshus to paskin. So how do you get reshus? Are there categories? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says there are different categories. There's yora, in terms of halachas yordeya. You need to learn all yordeya to give psak in yordeya. And I could have smicha in yordeya without having smicha in yadin, which is choshe mishpat. So Gemara talks about yora, and then talks about yadin, which is choshe mishpat. Then there's another case the Gemara talks about, yatir, having the ability to be matir b'choros. You have to be a baki, a mumcha, in all b'choros. I think it's a Rebbe spent a number of, maybe 18 years, on a farm, analyzing and studying animals in Bali Mumim to be, have smicha and rishus to paskin shalos for bechoros. So, what? I think Rebbe, the Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, I think so. It could be
Rebbe Yehuda Anasi.
Yeah, but I think it could be different. Right. So I think it was Rebbe. I could be wrong. Yeah. So either way, so we see there's such a concept. You need rishus to paskin shalos when it comes to being matir or bechor. So maybe that's where Rashi is getting this from. Now, other reasons given as to why one might not be able to look at a mum on yantif. Rashi says earlier, I'm not seeing where it is. I was looking for that before. He says in the last Rashi on the Mishnah, Ein zem moina munchum, Ein zem mina mucham. If you look through it, he says it looks like it's metakin kli. You're fixing something. Tikkun kli, tikkun mana. We saw this last week. You can't do tikkun mana on yantif. You can't fix something on yantif. You're not really fixing something. It looks like you're fixing something. That's the problem with looking at mumim on yantif. Others say because you're going to come to move the animal, when you're going to check it, you're obviously going to move it around, twist it around, look around, move this leg up, move this ear, and in doing so, you're moving the animal, that's going to be a violation of muksa, that's why you can't look at movement in yantif. And there are a couple other answers given. Okay. Fine, back to the Gemara now. So the Gemara says that cannot be the machlokas again. They're not arguing about whether you can look at mumim or not. It seems like from the Rambam, we paskin, you cannot look at mumim on yantif. That's from the Aleph there, tells us. Ein ro'en mumim. So what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara says, Bechor shenafel lebor itzirich lei. You need to teach this particular case. Hasak daita chamina, you would have thought, Mishim tsar balechaim, because tsar balechaim, the animal falls to the pit. It probably got hurt, and it's probably scared down there, and it can't get fed down there. So maybe because of Tzar Balei Chaim, which there are, I think of Usher Weiss, he has a PC writes, there are like 15 different sources of Tzar Balei Chaim as to why we know it's a Din Deraisa. One of the sources are, for example, if you see a friend walking with a load on his back, on the animal's back, you have to remove the load from his back. And the Gemara's Bava Metzia talk about because Tzar Balei Chaim. That's one source. There are many sources of Tzar Balei Chaim. Another one, you're supposed to feed your animals before you feed yourself. Might also be another source. So either way, because Tzar Balei Chaim, the animal falls to the pit and it's in a lot of pain and stress. So maybe La'arim V'liske K'Rabbi Yeshua K'mash V'lam. Maybe you should La'arim. You should do some type of harama, some type of trickery. And say as follows. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, what's the harama? Right, la'aram, right, lomar, vade yimtam b'mum. There's vade mum, certainly a mum here. I know there's a mum, certainly a mum. Let's bring it up. It fell down. How could there not be a mum? And I could kind of justify and rationalize to myself there has to be a mum, and to bring it up. And just like he says, what's Rabbi Yehoshua? So Rabbi Yehoshua is a case later on the Gemara talks about, and this Gemara appears a number of places in Shas. Let's say you have a mother and a daughter cow that falls to pit. So, and you want to shecht it on Yantif. It's a regular chulun animal, not a bechor, a chulun. And you could shecht the animal on Yantif. The problem is, I can't save both animals because it's a violation of oso es beno. I can't, exactly. I can't shecht a mother and a child in the same day. So they both fall to the pit. What am I supposed to do? So the Gemara says, Bishua tells us, this is all Rashi says this, you take out the mother and say, I'm going to shecht the mother. You take the mother out, and it's mutter to take out, it's not muksa because I want to shecht it. And you know what? I want to shecht the you don't shecht the mother, you shecht the, you take, I'm going to shecht the child. You take out the child, and then you shecht the child. That's harama. In order to save both Balei Chayim. So just like there, Bishua permits you to do some type of trickery to take both animals out, maybe here too also you could do some type of trickery and say, wait a second, there's certainly a mum. Come on. It fell to the pit. How is it not a mum? You take out the animal, and that would be permitted. And Kamash Milan comes to teach me, no, if the animal falls, I don't care about Tsar Balei Chayim, you can't do harama, you can't leave it in there. So, right, so that's the Chiddush. Okay. So Gemara says, no, you can't do that. You can't bring it up. You have to go down and check it first, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't do anything. It's stuck. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you could send a mumcha down to take a look at it. And if there's a mum, you could take it up. But to first bring it up, assuming there's a mum, that's not allowed. That's the Chiddush, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's why we taught this Mishnah. So Gemara tells, if that's the Chiddush, Ihachi, the Mishnah should have taught us, Lo Yishchot? Lo Yalav Yishchot Mibaylei. The Mishnah shouldn't teach us, again, look at the statement of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda tells us that im yored mumcha v'yira, a mumcha goes down and takes a look at it, im yeshva mum, says the Mishnah, yalav yishchot.
Why needs to bring it up even if there's a mum?
If there's a mum, a mumcha goes down, if there's a mum, you could bring up the animal, because now there's a mum, it's talking about a bechor, I think you missed the first point, it's a bechor. A bechor is a firstborn animal, which is kedusha. You can't shecht it and eat unless there's a mum on it. So you send the mum, unless there's a mum. If there's not a mum, you can't shecht it in yantiv, it's kudshim. So you send down the mumcha. I'm reading a line of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im yeshva mum yalav yishcha." You can bring it up and shecht it. Vim lav lo yishcha. If not, you can't shecht it.
And if it doesn't have a mum, so it's also called the Beis Hamikdash.
Well, we're talking about Bizman Azeh. There's no Beis Hamikdash, so you can't shecht it outside of Beis Hamikdash. If it's a baal mum, so then you're allowed to shecht it. Fine. So the Mishnah says, "Im lav, if there's no mum lo yishcha, you can't shecht the animal." So the Gemara says, wait a second. If what we're saying is that the halacha is you can't lift it up, the Mishnah should have taught, lo yalav yishcho mibale, it should say you can't bring up the animal to shecht. Why did somebody say don't shecht it? Say don't bring it up to shecht it. Because the whole idea, the whole chiddush of the Mishnah is you're not allowed to do harama to bring it up, say, oh, wait a second, there's probably a mum, let's bring it up. Oh, there's not a mum. If that's a chiddush, it should say im lav lo yalav yishcho, you can't bring it up to shecht it. Why simply lo yishcho? So the Gemara says, Lo Tshicha. The case is talking about De'over Ve'aske. No, it's talking about a case where the person violated the Din Chachamim, and he brought it up anyways. He brought up the, without looking at it. He said, you know what, there's probably a mum, which is against what the Chachamim tell us to do. Let's bring it up. So they bring up the cow to the ground. Oh, it turned out there's actually a mum. Let's shecht it now. Are you allowed to shecht it, even though you went against the Chachamim? Chachamim say, first take a look, and then bring it up. They did the opposite. They brought it up, and then they took a look at it. So there, the Havmini is Sakadaitach. Gemara would think Sakadaitach Amina Lishchadei. So maybe he should shecht it. Okay, he violated the Din Chachamim. Maybe he could shecht it after the fact that he found that there is a mum. Kamash Malon. So it comes to teach us that you cannot shecht it. So the Gemara says Lishchadei. How are you going to shecht it? Hatamhu. If you lift up the cow, you violate the Chacham. The Chacham says, the Mishnah tells us to look first when it's down in the boar. And then if you see a baal mum, you can check it. This person lifted up the cow. And at this point, the Gemara thinks he didn't check for a mum. He just lifted it up. So if he just lifted it up and never checked for a mum, how could you shecht it? It's a tam. We said before, a tam b'chor b'zmanazeh cannot be shechted chut the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara says, no, lo tzicha de nafa b'mum. No, it's a case where you hoisted up the cow from the pit. And then suddenly you fell. So let's say something came along and hit the cow, and the cow has a mum on it now. So now it's a mum. So now there's a mum. I should be able to shecht it. The Gemara says, Kamashman, we don't allow you to shecht it because there's a kanas. Because since you brought up the cow before checking it for a mum, you get a kanas. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If it's a case where the mum, came on yontif itself, if that's what they're talking about, v'ha muktzehu. So what we're saying, if a mum falls out on the cow on yontif, that's muksa. Because erev yontif, it was a tam animal. It wasn't roi. Now on yontif, it has a mum. That's considered nola. That wasn't hachana. That's muksa. That's new. We're saying, okay, you're right. It's not a case where the mum came on yontif itself. Ella, I know it's very confusing back and forth. Ella, the nafal be mum over me'erev yomtiv. So there's a mum over and there's a mum kavua. Mum over is where there's a temporary mum which comes and goes. So that's not, that doesn't allow you, that's not considered a real ba mum, doesn't allow you to shecht it. But he did have a mum over erev yomtiv, the animal. Exactly. So he's out. It's possible, maybe a mum kavua will also happen. So the Gemara says, mum over me'erev yomtiv. V'hash to have a lay mum kavua. And now this mum over turned into a mum kavua. So mal the same the daita leo of nishchadei. So the havmin is, since erev yomtiv there is already mum over, maybe he thinks, oh, it will turn to mum kavua. It won't be considered muktzah. He'll still consider the possibility that the mum kavua will come, and it's not considered muktzah, and you could check it. Kamash mala, no, you can't. So in the end of the day, what's the case? The case is I have a cow that has a mum over, a mum that comes and goes. They're not permanent, but at least it shows a certain amount of blemish, and then it falls to a pit. So maybe I could think, I could bring it up without looking at it. And then I take a look at it. Oh, wait a second. There's a mum kavu and I should be able to shecht it. Yehuda tells me, no, I can't. Even though there's a mum over, it wasn't a mum kavu. I really did not anticipate a mum kavu coming. It's considered muksa. And therefore, if I bring it up before checking for any mum, I'm not allowed to shecht it. It's a kanas. That's the halachas. Okay, a little bit confusing. A little bit of a strange case. But hopefully some basics about a bechor, the halachas of bechor. Okay, so that's the first case of the daf, first half. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss a little bit further about the halachas of Bechor and falling into a pit. The Gemara quotes the Mebraisa Tanur Rabbanim. Bechor tam shenafal lebor. I have a Bechor, an unblemished animal, a Bechor that is, that falls to the pit. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, Yarad Mumcha V'yira, Im Yesh Ramum, Yala V'yishchot, V'im Lav Lo Yishchot. So he says, like he said in the Mishnah, send down an expert. Check if there's a mum, bring it up and shecht it. Exactly, because Yehuda holds there's no such thing as he doesn't hold the muksa. I think Rashi probably points that out. Right, exactly. Rashi said exactly there's no muksa, says Rashi. Yeah. Therefore, I don't care if there's a mum erev yontif or not a mum. The question is there a mum right now? Even if there wasn't a mum erev yontif, it was a tam. It was a tam erev yontif. He doesn't hold the muksa, exactly. Then comes along Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, Hare Amru, Ein Ron Mumin B'yomtif. He says, you can't look at Mumin, you're not allowed to. Keita, Nola, what's the case? So, Nola lo Mumin B'yomtif. If, let's say, now there are going to be three scenarios right now. Let's say there's a Mumin Erev Yomtif, and you did not look at Erev Yomtif, you knew something happened to it, you just didn't check it out. Ain mevakrinos ob yomtiv. Mevakri, like you can't visit it. You can't check it on yomtiv itself. That's halacha one. It's almost a knas for not checking it on yomtiv. Okay. Now, nolad ba b'yomtiv. Nolad ba mum. Let's say a mum fell b'yomtiv. It was a tam erev yomtiv, and now it became a mum on yomtiv itself. So the halacha is, Rabbi Shimon Omer, ain zem min amuchin. That's not considered prepared already. He holds a muksa. The first case was, it's not muksa because it had a mum before and I just didn't check it, so I can't check it on yantif. This case is, no, there was no mum before and the mum only came today in yantif. That's considered a muksa. That's case two. Now, v'shavin, they're both in agreement, both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi both agree, shim no let hu umumo imo shave shazem min amuchan, that if the calf, let's say, is born on yantif, with the mum, that everybody agrees is considered mucham. That's considered already prepared. The reason being because since when the calf is in the cow, it's mutter, because if I shech the cow, I can eat the calf that's inside. I'm allowed to eat it. So since it was mutter then, and now it was born on yantif, it's mutter now because it was born with the mum. So that's why it's considered already prepared from before Yom Tov. So those are three scenarios. Again, first scenario is it had a mum erev Yom Tov. I just didn't check it. So it's not muksa. It's just a kanas for me not checking it erev Yom Tov. I can't check it in Yom Tov itself. But if I do check it, the Gemara is going to tell us, I actually can eat it. If I find the mum, I can. But I'm not supposed to check. If the mum only came on Yom Tov itself, so Rabbi Huda says, it's mutter, you could check it. Rabbi Huda doesn't hold a muksa. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the creation of the mum on Yom Tov itself is muksa. And the third scenario, again, is when the calf is born with the mum, that's mutter.
No appetite for it.
No appetite for it. Okay. So says the Gemara, Darish Rabba bar Rav Huna. He makes the following drasha. Nolad hu umumo imo mivakrino so b'yom tov l'chachila. He says, if it's born on Yom Tov with a mum, you're allowed to check it l'chachila. Okay? You're allowed to go check it. So Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman challenges him. Amalei Rav Nachman abatani im avru v'bakru mivukar. What do you mean? The brisa we learned was only if you did check the child, that was the calf that was born, if you checked it and it was a mum, so then you could check it. But at Amris Vivakun also lichachila? The brisa doesn't say lichachila, you could check the new calf. Only if you checked it and there's a mum, you could check it. But you can't lichachila check it. And you're telling me that you're allowed to lichachila, you're making a drasha, you're allowed to check lichachila, the calf that was born on Yom Tov itself? So Amr Bai says, Kvase de Rabba bar Rav Huna mistavra. You know, he's quite logical, what Rabbi says, that you're allowed to lechachila check it. Why? Midikasani tlasa bave, the fact that there are three different scenarios, nola bomum, and follows, you can make it sound like he's correct. What are the three scenarios? Nola bomum mer of yomtuf, aim of akunos of yomtuf lechachila, who dilo ha diavid shaper dami. So, when it was, the mum fell erev yomtuf, and I didn't check it, I can't check it on yomtuf itself, because I missed the opportunity erev yomtuf. Only the chachila tzaddik. The chachila, I can't check it, but if I did check this animal that had a mum erev yomtiv, and it's a good check. And then the Gemara says, Nolba mum yomtiv, let's say the mum happened in yomtiv itself. So then Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein zeh min ha-muchan, da'afil diev na'milo. This is not considered muchan already. If the mum fell in yomtiv, even if I wanted to check it, I can't. It's muksa. Even if I find it to be about mum, it's not. I have no choice. It's muksa. And then the Hadatani, the third scenario is, Shavin Shim Nolad Mumo Imo. Let's say he gets born on Yom Tov, the calf, and there's a mum on the calf, Shazem Min HaMuchan, that's considered already prepared from before Yom Tov. The Afil Lechachila Nami, it's prepared, and it sounds like even Lechachila, I could be Mevakir, I could look for the mum on Yom Tov. So these three scenarios, the way it's set up, sound like the third scenario of being born with the mum, Lechachila, one can check it out, sounds like a support for Rabba Bar Rav Huna.
One is Revi arguing on just the middle scenario of when it gets a mum on Yom Tov.
Just exactly right. The first scenario, I think they both agree that you can't check it on Yom Tov itself. Right, chachila.
Revi agree to that because Revi lets you send somebody down to see when it gets a mum on Yom Tov. He lets you send somebody down.
I thought it was a kanas. I thought, let's see. It's possible, man. You could be right about that case. I'm not sure. Rashi doesn't really say it, what his opinion is in that regard. Yeah, I don't know. If possible, you're right. He even argues in that case. Okay, so now the Gemara continues and says, so is it really true that l'chachila, you're allowed to check this animal that was just born today on Yom Tov? V'ha ki asa Rav Oshaya. So when Oshaya came, he came, v'aisa masnisa biyade, and he brought Brisa with him. And what did the Brisa say? Bein chenola bo mum merv yamtiv, u bein chenola bo mum bi yamtiv. Whether the mum was erv yamtiv or the mum was on yamtiv itself, chacham omrim ein ze min hamuchan. And Rashi, I feel the yavid doesn't work. You can hear? So this braisa says again, if the mum came erev yontif or the mum was on yontif itself, cham omrim is not considered prepared, even if it was prepared erev yontif. So what's the kasha here? So Rashi says, "Ti Rashi Chacham Omrim." Rashi's on the right side of the page now. There's no tosis here. He says, "Chacham Omrim, Ein Zemen Amulchan, Afil Diavet." Even if you checked it, it doesn't work. V'har Rabbi Shimon he, Dishaminale in Ron Mimun. It's Rabbi Shimon, the author, the one who thinks you can't look at Mumim on Yontif. V'chevin Dibahanach Tarti Arvi V'Tani Lehu. Since these two he coupled together, Ikel Meimar Dinolad Hu Mumo Imo Dishari Diavet Kamar Kerev Nachman. So it sounds like he only coupled together. We have three scenarios. Now this statement of the Chachamim, he coupled together only two of the three scenarios. A mum erev yamtiv and mum on yamtiv itself. He left out the case of being born with a mum. He left that case out. Sounds like that, that's why these two scenarios in the Mishnah is b'di'eved, it doesn't work. But sounds like the case of mum imo, bidyeved does work, but only bidyeved works litchachila, one is not supposed to be checking the animal that's born. That's the diak they bring from this brisa. Ella kasha hach. So the kasha, these two brisas. Can you check a calf born in yantif if there's a mum, or can you not check? So the Gemara says, hahi, that brisa that he brought, adabar uchmi, was authored by adabar uchmi, the mishabshe vetani, he made mistakes. So Rashi says, he was a chacham echad. Right, so he apparently there were mistakes and he forgot them. There are different types of mistakes, so you can't really you can't trust that brisa, and that's why there's a steer in the brises. So therefore, it sounds like lichachila one can't even check for a mum of a calf that's born on yontif itself. So now Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masnisin Nami Deka." Our Mishnah is also pretty meduyak in support of this. Dikasani, the Mishnah says, "Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol She'ein Mumo Nikar Merav Yontif Ein Zem Min Amuchim." So if the mum wasn't recognizable, though it may have been there, it just wasn't recognizable, wasn't checked. It wasn't recognizable Erev Yontif. That's not considered Muchan. It's Muksa. My Ein Mumo Nikar. What does it mean that a mum is a nikar? You can't recognize the mum. If it's not recognizable at all, nobody can notice it. Pshita, tzich lememar. Do you have to tell me that's not minamuchan? Of course. If there's a mum that nobody could see, so of course it's not minamuchan. It's moksa. That's obvious. That can't be the chiddush of the Mishnah. It wasn't showed to a chacham erev yamtiv for him to look at it. The mum existed. It was noticeable. But who am I? I don't know what's a mum, not a mum. I saw something strange. I saw that the ear was very dried out on the bechor, for example, which is a mum if it gets completely dried out. I just didn't know if it was dried out enough. I didn't show it to the chacham, so it must be a case where I didn't show it to a chacham erev yamtiv. In mum over, I wasn't sure if it was a real permanent mum or a mum over that comes and goes and wouldn't be qualified as a mum. And katani mias ain't a minamuchan, and yet still it says it's not minamuchan shmamina. So what are we learning from here? What's the chiddush here? So Rashi says, "He Rashi ein zemen amuchan, ein zemen amuchan." Rashi says it's the bottom right. Afil diavet, even b'diavet, it doesn't work. Something that's not min amuchan, you can't change the facts anymore. If it wasn't prepared yomtiv, nothing's erev yomtiv. It can't change. So the fact that even b'diavet, such an animal that was never checked beforehand, cannot be used on yomtiv, is talking about on the b'diavet plane. So too, when Rabbi Shimon permits you to have the calf that's born with mumo imo, with the mum, that's only bidyevet. We're talking about on the bidyevet level. Bidyevet is permitted if you checked it and there's a mum, but not lichadchila. So therefore it comes out from the dig from the Mishnah and the brisa above that we are saying that one cannot lichadchila check an animal that's born in yantif, but if one does check and find that there's a mum, you can shecht and eat it on yantif. Okay, I know, again, very confusing, very technical. Okay.
And we're also changing our position on Reb Shimon's case where it's born erev yamtiv, that now he's saying that it's not good even b'di'evid, whereas before we thought according to Reb Shimon that it'd be okay b'di'evid, just not lechachila.
Right, exactly. That's also
changes from that previous.
Right. That's also changed. Very good. Right. Okay. Now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Gemara asks, "Boy mine, Hillel mi Rava." Hillel asks Rava the following question: "Yesh muksa lechatzi Shabbos or ein muksa lechatzi Shabbos?" So, is there such a concept of something being muksa for half of Shabbos and not, or not? It's all or nothing, or you can split it in half. So, first of all, the Ram points out this is not kalacha, because we paskin that the establishment of muksa all depends on the status of the item during Bein HaShemashos. If during Bein HaShemashos it's muksa, during the entire Bein HaShemashos, it's muksa during the entire Yontif. And if it's not muksa Bein HaShemashos, then it's not muksa during the entire Yontif, unless something might change. So this only according to opinion that this concept of Bein HaShemashos is not relevant. But for us, that's how we passing based on Bein HaShemashos, but we're going to go through the Shakla Tire anyways. So that's the Shaila. Is there such a thing as muksa half a Shabbos or not half a Shabbos? Or not? So, hey, Chidam, what exactly is a scenario of there being a muksa for Chetzi Shabbos? I de achsi Bein HaShemashos achsi. If during Bein HaShemashos it's permitted, it's not considered muksa, it's something that's mutter to be used, it's permitted. What's the Shaila? It's permitted all of Shabbos. I de lo achsi, if it wasn't fit during Bein HaShemashos lo achsi, then it's not fit. It's muksa the whole entire Shabbos. So, lo tzicha, no, the case is, de achsi v'hadar idchi v'hadar ichsi. It was roi during Bein HaShemashos. But then something happened where it made it unroy, it was not fit anymore, and then it became fit again. So do we say the fact that it became unfit during a few moments later on, again, initially it was something as roy. The Gemara is going to talk about examples. But on the onset of Shabbos, it was mutter. It was roy to be used. Something happened on Shabbos, made it muksa, and then something happened, made it unmuksa, if you will, it became mutter to be used. Did such a concept happen? Could we change the status of an item during over the course of Shabbos? The Gemara says, "Semai, what's the halacha? Amrle yesh muksa." There is such a concept of muksa that it can change back and forth. Okay, so Gemara says, "Is that really true?" Aseve, v'shavin shem nolad mumo imo shezem min amuchan. So we brought above the case of the Bechor that both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda agree if the calf was born on Yantif, and there is a mum on the calf, it's minamuchan, it's already considered prepared. But my, why is that permitted? Why could you shech the calf? Name a high bechor mi karahavi chazi, agav eme. Initially, when the calf was still inside the mother cow, it was mutter to eat, because if I shech the cow, I open up the cow and I find the calf inside, that calf is mutter. It's actually mutter to even eat without shechting the calf. It's a special halacha that shechit on the mother works on the calf, even though the calf is alive. You know, like that. That's called a ben pekua, the Gemara is talking about. Ben pekua. You find an animal inside a mother of an animal, then you could eat it without shechting it.
Like you said, that was a delicacy. They really showed love.
Really?
I think I read that once. Maybe it was very tender or something.
Uh-huh.
Juicy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But you didn't have to shecht it. It's so interesting. You just like...
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting case. Anyway, ben pekua is usually used as a nafkamina for a lot of different scenarios.
Find an animal.
Okay. You know a shecht?
Why not?
Okay. Not so hard, right? So again, so this bechor was initially on Yontif was permitted to be eaten because it was inside the mother. You shechted the mother, mimela, you could eat the bechor inside. But then it's yalile, izichile, but then it gets born, it's a bechor now. I can't eat a bechor. It's a tam. I have to assume it's a tam, unless I know otherwise. Now it's izichile, it's pushed off. It's muksa now. But then, he says, oh, there's a mum here, it's permitted to be eaten. So if this is a case of achsi v'idchei v'achsi, and we say it's mutter to eat, and we don't say it's muksa. So this is a kasha. Before we said, no, it's muksa. We have such a concept of something becoming muksa nyantif, and we say it is muksa. And this says, no, you could undo the muksa. So Gemara says, no, this case of the calf being born in Yantiv is a different case. Amar Abayi, Visema Rav Safra, Kigon, the Yosve, Dayane Hasam. There's a case where the Dayanim were mamash sitting down as the Bechor is being born. They're looking at it as it was coming out. They saw, oh, there's a Bechor. And there wasn't a moment in time where they said, oh, it's Asr because it's Bechor. The moment it came out of the cow, they noticed the mum. So it was a seamless transition, and that's why it was permitted to be shechted. But Ein Echanami, if it was shown only later on to the Chacham, and there would have been a few moments where it was going to be usher because it's chashash, it's a bechor, it's tam. In Echanami, it would be muksa, and they could not undo the status of muksa. Ikadami, there's a slightly different version of the of the Shakti Taira. Ikidami says, Amar Le, ain't Muksa Lechati Shabbos. We paskin, there is no Muksa Lechati Shabbos. Lema Mesaile, maybe bring a support from the case of Bechor, that says, Vishavin Shim Nolad Mumo Imo, if you, the calf is born with a mum, Shazemin Amuchar, that's already prepared. But isn't this Bechor initially was permitted through the shechting of the mother? And then Ishyali le idchale. Then it was born and it was pushed off. And then Achsi v'chacham ishtari le. And then you show it to Chacham who permits it. Isn't this a case of Chazi v'dach v'chazi, which is a support that we don't say Muksa for half a Shabbos? Amar Bai, v'yisei Rav Safra, could go in the Yasri, Dayan Hasam. No, you can't bring a rye from the case of Bechor. The case of Bechor perhaps is a case where the dayanim were mamash sitting down when the calf was being born, and there wasn't a moment in time where it had a status of a tam. The more attempts to bring a raya from another case, Toshma, ya'ochel ba'anavim, person's eating grapes. V'hosir, and he has some leftover grapes, doesn't know what to do with the rest of them. So what does he do? V'helim lagag, he brings them up to the roof to lie them down and let them dry out in the sun. La'asos mem, and smoke them to make raisins. Or he is tainim, he's eating figs. V'hosir, and he has some leftover figs. V'helon l'gag, l'asos behen grogros. He wants to lay them out to have dried figs. So he puts them on the roof. So lo yocha mehem ad shiyazmin mibod yom. So this all takes place on Erev Yomtif. Now, let's say on Yomtif he goes to the roof and sees, oh, they're very dried out nicely, and I could have some raisins, I could have some dried out figs. He cannot eat these figs or grapes on Yomtif unless he has mazmin them before, and he had to set them aside. Because the way it works, it takes a lot of time, I don't know how long, but it takes a lot of time for these grapes and these figs to dry out. So I don't really anticipate that's going to be it also gets very disgusting. Imagine a grape, it gets withered, it's gross. Until it gets fully dried, it's very disgusting in the interim. So the person doesn't really anticipate them being ready on Yontif. So unless he is minamuchan. So let's say, v'chein, the Gemara goes further, v'chein ata moti bafraskin. Afrasin, what, peaches or something? Afrasakin. What are they, peaches? Peach, okay. And then uva chavushim, what's chavushim?
Quince.
Okay, the Rashi says currants in his old French.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, currants, okay. So that's a type of, okay, a fruit. Ubishar kol mine peros. And all other types of fruit, the same halacha applies. That if you leave it out on the rooftop to dry, if you want to eat them yantif, you have to mazmin them erev yantif. So hechidami, what's the case? Idechazei, if it's fit, lamalei hazmana. If it's ready erev yantif, it's ready dried out, so why does it require hazmana? If I have raisins I put on the fruit, on the rooftop, they're ready raisins, so certainly I don't need to have hazmana. If they're not fit, if they're still in the time period where it's starting to get gross still, it's withering and still not yet dried, so even if I set them aside, what good is that going to do? It's not roy. I can't set aside, let's say, I think Rashi says a case of a rock. I can't set aside a rock to eat. I can set aside a rock to use, but not a rock to eat. So setting aside a disgustingly gross grape to eat, it's not roy to eat. So it can't be a case of it's not roy either. So my havi, Gemara says, maybe it's a case where I didn't know if it was going to be roy by the time Yontif comes. Erev Yontif, it looks like it's getting there. It's drying out. Not quite there yet. Maybe by tomorrow afternoon it'll be completely dry. I'm not sure. So I'm mazmin it just in case it's going to be ready by tomorrow afternoon. But v'homer Rav Kana, doesn't Rav Kana teach us, that won't work. Because, in the side that you don't need to do that. That muksa sheyavesh, a muksa that became dried out, v'ein habalim makirin bo mutter. It's mutter, even without them knowing it. So in Mimel it's going to be muti even without being mazmin it. Okay. So the Gemara says, I think it can't be a case where you weren't sure. Because if it turned out to be dried out, Rav Kana says you're allowed to eat it. So El Alav Dechazi V'Adichu V'Hader Achsu. It must be a case where initially it was fit. Because I had grapes. Erev Yomtif, they were grapes. I could eat the grapes. And then over the course of Yomtif, it gets starts drying out. And the period before it gets completely dried out, it's too disgusting to eat. So it's because Adchi gets pushed off. And then later on, it's a very hot summer day, Pesach, let's say. So then it starts getting dried out to the point where I could eat it as a raisin now. So is this not our very question of Chazi v'idchi v'hadir achzu? Now, the Amrish Gemara says, Ein mak muksa lam hul hazmana. Now, the Brisa told us above, it only works, you can only eat it if you're masmin it erev yomtiv. So the Gemara says, if you don't hold the muksa here, why do you need hazmana at all? It must be that chazi v'idch v'hadar achzi, once it gets idchi, once it becomes muksa, it has a stas chaloshe muksa, and it requires hazmana. So it must be that there is muksa. If something becomes muksa in Shabbos or Yom Tov, there's such a thing as muksa. Exactly. Ain? I thought yesh.
Huh?
I thought we would say yesh.
Yesh.
Right. Ella ma yesh muksa. It must be there is muksa. Let me say, if it started off as a grape, it got gross and it was izche, that's muksa. And hadar chazi, then even though later on it becomes roi, I need a hazmana for Erev Yom Tov to allow me to eat it, because the fact that it became muksa on Yom Tov itself, it becomes muksa the rest of Shabbos, unless I was mazmin it. Samara says, wait a second. Ki azmin le, may habi le. But if I were to be mazmin it, what good will that do? Why? Because it gets uprooted, the fact that it gets pushed off, the hazmana won't work anymore? Right, so the point is, what good is it going to do? Erev Yom Tov, where it's a grape. Grapes don't require hazmana. So if I'm mazmin as a grape, it won't help because it wasn't muksa yet. It only becomes muksa on Yom Tov. Later on, as it starts to dry out, it becomes muksa as it's in the state of being disgusting. So hazmana won't work on something that's not yet muksa. So how's that going to help? So Gemara says, no, lo tricha must be case to ach suvul ach. It's partially sit. It's already partially dried out. There's some people who do eat it this way, some people don't eat it this way. David wouldn't eat it this way, because David likes his raisins really, really dry. Others, like myself, will have it, even though it's a little bit moist and somewhat dry, I'll eat it. So yesh for yesh. So asmin, if I'm masmin it, such a grape, galidaiti, I'm galidas, that I want to eat it, I'm okay. Lo asmin, if I don't set it aside before yandiv, lo galidaiti, I don't show my das. Okay, let's go a few more lines. Let's do a few more lines. I guess we still have a lot of time. Just a few more lines to the top. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Tashma, brings in another brisa for this concept of Ichsi v'adach v'ichsi, this Chati Shabbos. Tashma, Mipolin v'adashim, these different types of beans and lentils.
Fulin,
Mifulin. Oh, not Pulin, Mifulin. Okay. Mifulin v'adashim, that Rashi, we cook on Yantif. Deha polin vadashim made kara chazulakos. So initially, so what's the context of this brisa? It's talking about that you're allowed to cook these things on Yantav itself. Okay, you could cook them, fine. So what happens is these lentils, or these, I think polin are like snow peas or something, right? Snow peas?
Beans.
Beans, okay, beans. I thought maybe snow peas, but either way, sometimes they're lentils and beans. Made kara chazulakos. You could chew them, they're edible in their raw state. But then shadinu b'kdera, and I throw them into a boiling pot of water. Yitzchule, they become they're die muksa. But why? Rashi says last line in the Rashi calls man shiroschen. They're boiling now. I can't eat it right now while in the bubbling pot of soup. I can't eat it. It's too hot to eat. So it becomes muksa. Gamar bishulaihu chadulhu. Now the cooking completes itself. Now it cools off, and I drain and strain the water. Now it's I'm able to eat it. So we see, this is a case of chazu v'idchui chazu v'yichzu, and we're allowed to cook these on Yom Tov. Sounds like we don't hold of the muksa. So says the Gemara, Amar le'bayi u'latameich, according to your very reasoning, tikshir lech k'der da'ama. Forget the case of pulin. What about any pot, anything I cook on Yom Tov itself? D'ha stam k'deris da'ama, b'ena shmashos rosh chesen, u'lorosu achlin minayu. Any pot, most pots, I have a chicken soup. I'm boiling on Yom Tov, so it's boiling during Bein HaShemashos, and then later on it becomes, and then that cools off later on. Every time I cook something on Yom Tov, it starts off as being roi, and then becomes idchi to the boiling pot, then becomes chazi. So this is not a good kash. It's not a comparable case. El Gemara says, why is this case not considered a good proof for our question? El Gemara says, Gamru bidei Adam lo kumin bailan. Our question was never if it was complete through Mais Adam. If a person's doing it, that's not a question of the muksa. As Rashi explains, you see, Rashi, Elamide de Gamri bide Adam lo kami bailim. De Haven de Biadal Sakna Baba Yom, lo maxile midaitum ipne de chiaso. Since man is the one who's doing all this, it's not considered maksa midaito. He knows he's going to cook the lentils the next day. Again, all muks is always about das. If he anticipates doing something, it's not going to become muksa. Nengmar says, "Ki kumim baylon." When was the question? Gamru b'deshemaim. The only question was when it was b'deshemaim, rather when b'deshemaim, where it's out of our hand. We don't know what it's going to be. Then we're maksim b'daita. Then it's out of our mind. We don't can't anticipate. If it's something that's up to us that we have control over, so then it's not maksim b'daita. Only when it's b'deshemaim, where we have no control over, we don't know what to anticipate. Then we have the question of chazvit chazvi hadavi achsim. Okay, we'll stop here. I know, very very confusing daf. But we those do come up from time to time.
Easy for you.